me get to know ya. Hey, na, 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 delve into emotion, leave us in this moment. Yeah. Hello, welcome to Literature License Podcast, and we are getting to know Tom Diamond. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Keith, and I think Vicky's over there, too.
Yes, I am. Hey.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We's good.
Yeah.
Many people don't know that Tom's been doing the Dark Shadows episodes with us, and Tom is also a voice artist. He does voiceovers and does a lot of voice characters for us. So, Tom, what else do you do in your spare time?
Not so spare as I would like it, but aside from dabbling in voiceovers, in the real world, I am currently an adjunct professor at Stephen F. Liston State University in business communications under my real name, which the Dark Shadows fans know, but which I'll keep to myself. There's a mystery for anybody who wants to find that.
Okay, you can go look at any bathroom. His name is everywhere.
And yes, call Tom for a good time. Yes, and the phone number. And Vicky's been putting them on all the bathrooms.
I've included all the pertinent information.
Exactly. Yes, Vicky's my agent, you see. So I'm doing that. I'm going for my doctorate in human resources management at North Central University. In the real world, I used to be a medical board investigator in New York State. And then I went into human resources. I have 12 years of that. And so I am, and of course, a Dark Shadows fan from way back when. So I would love to get back to my computer gaming. I haven't been able to do that in ages. And now I might just be able to, take a little time and wake up and smell the coffee, because the world we're living in, you got to find some good stuff out there. That's what I do. That's what I do.
Well, is there anything you'd like to plug, whether it's a social media or a website or anything you'd like to get out there to everybody?
Well, certainly if there are any voiceover agents out there, please contact me. I would love to hear from you at tom.diamon@llpodcast.com. That would be very nice. I am also host of a real world podcast with the American Society of Public Administration, since I have a public sector background, and it's called Public Sector Works, and we do we interview prominent people in the South Florida area, and that's where I live. We interview prominent people in public sector as well as in academe, and we started that last December, and it has a pretty decent, considering we're on Podbean, LinkedIn, YouTube. No, not YouTube yet. Podbean, LinkedIn, Facebook, and a couple of other places. But Podbean is our main thing right now, and we're expanding. And we were voted, and not to blow my horn, but we were voted by Yelp Magazine out of the UK. We were voted one of the 20 best podcasts. 20 best public sector podcasts for 2020.
Good deal. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, well, I like to keep stuff like that under wraps. But yes, I thank you. And so that's another thing that I'd like to. And of course, I'm very proud to be with your group because as a lifelong Dark Shadows fan, it's enabled me to give back to the fandom. So that's what I do.
Now, we discussed a lot of different genres and stuff, and you've actually jumped from Dark Shadows into some of our other episodes. So, mm-hmm. What is your favorite genre?
Horror. It makes sense. I was exposed to it at a very early age. Used to watch it with my father back in Brooklyn, New York. Creature Features on Channel 5, which I'm sure you guys got too. And Chiller Theater on Channel 11, the New York stations. And was prior to Dark Shadows, I was into the classics, Lugosi, Karloff, Chaney, the Universal Horror Cycle, which was great when I first saw that on Creature Features. Yes, the sci-fi to a certain extent, and British horror, the Hammer films. I just saw a great Hammer retrospective, which is on Amazon Prime, which Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing hosted, and they interviewed a lot of people. But in any event, to answer your question, horror fantasy, I love Star Trek. I never could get into Star Wars that much. But yes, I'm a Star Trek fan from way back. A Trekker, serious fan. Went to the first Star Trek convention back in New York. And so I'm pretty knowledgeable on that. And so I would say horror fantasy would be a primary sci-fi. And believe it or not, I do like musicals for a change of pace. My favorite movie is Bye Bye Birdie. And I heard you, Keith.
Oh, that's Anne Margaret, though.
That's right. Anne Margaret, yeah. My first crush. Oh, my God.
Sex kitten, if you ever see.
Oh, my God. Oh, I was so jealous of Bobby Rydell and Bye Bye Birdie. I would have wanted to punch him out.
Bobby Rydell looked like a human turtle against Anne Margaret is just sexy. I mean, I show
she
people.
She is.
And when you see Bye Bye Birdie, she's 18 years old in that. And
yes,
one,
yes.
She just.
She's,
you know, when she's saying there are men, and that's right for kissing. And it's like, oh my,
that's right. God. That's right. Got a lot of living to do. I always like one boy, one special boy,
she's
one
kept
boy
it together to all these years too. She's still good looking, no matter how old she's gotten.
In her late 70s or early 80s, and she's still
kicking it.
She's still a beauty. I never forgot. Actually, AOL when they first started. Had these interviews, they got these stars and they put them on to type, just to get their name out there. And Anne Margaret was one of them. And I got on the list and they came to me. I was shocked. And I told her, I said, you know, when Bye Bye Birdie first appeared at Radio City Music Hall back in 1963, I went with my mother to see it over the Easter, for the Easter show. And she had been there with her parents. So she says, Tom, we're bonded. And I almost fell out of my chair. And then she said, what do you look like? Oh, I'm just kidding. I wish she hadn't been. So that was, but Anne Margaret is a favorite. And Carousel. I know you were a fan of The Music Man, Keith. I remember that from your interview. And I remember when The Music Man first came out in 1960, all the kids around the block gathered. They were all talking about it, and they were all marching like 76 trombones. So that was fun. That brought memories.
My daughter took me to right before COVID happened. She had to do some, like, plays, and, you know, they have the little theaters everywhere sort of like things. And I've always loved Music Man. She took me to a play, and I hadn't been to one in so long. And I enjoyed it so much. I forgot how great theater was and how fun it is and interactive it is. It's just fantastic to go every so often. It kind of makes me want to go again. I'm hoping that, you know, things keep going as they go so I can. Well, so that would be your favorite. Those are your favorite films, Tom?
So let's see. So Bye Bye Birdie is probably my all time favorite, and Carousel and The Music Man. And as far as horror is concerned, the Lugosi Dracula and the Universal Horror Cycle. And as a secondary would be the Hammer Dracula, the Hammer Lee.
Now, what's your earliest film memory that you have? Like the first film that you ever saw?
Great question.
Anne Margaret.
I wish Anne Margaret was a great vampire. She would have made a great vampire.
She would have made a great vampire.
Yeah. Well, she was in Kitten with a Whip, which was the closest thing she ever got to.
I love her in Grumpy Old Men.
That was wonderful.
I adore that movie.
More Grumpy Old Men. But to answer Keith's question, Kronos. That's the earliest movie I ever saw that was on, it was on Channel 13 in New York before they became an educational station. And they were showing sci-fi. So I remember seeing Kronos and with my father, and I really enjoyed that. And from then on in, I'd go to the Saturday matinees at my local movie theater, which showed The Manster and some of these schlock 50s sci-fi films and so forth. But
The Eye.
Yeah.
The eye. The eye that would chase you through, yep. Was a big eyeball.
Curling eye with Forrest Tucker.
Yes, there you go. There you go.
I was looking for that, oddly enough, the other day. I know there's a movie with this giant eyeball.
Yeah,
I watched it. It's on
the Killer Movie Channel.
It's on the
Is it? The Brain from Planet Iris.
The Brain. Oh, my God. That was even
with
better.
John Agar, you know, after Shirley Temple.
Oh, my God.
Temple
those are
Weston.
Just... So bad. What's they're
the
brilliant.
One about Hitler's brain. There's one about Hitler's brain.
They say yes, Hitler's brain. Yes. I think that was cool.
We could do a whole season just on that stuff, you know?
Oh, my God. The Manster. Everybody was screaming when they saw this guy with two heads and stuff like that. And
Invaders from Mars is another one of my favorites.
And Ray Milland, man with the X-ray eyes, that what it was called? Yeah, that was a real, that was a, especially the end of the film, you know, where they, if an eye offends thee, pluck it out.
Yeah. You know?
And that was...
I loved Ray Milland back then. He's pretty good, too.
Oh, he was very, and you know, he was seasoned. And it was fun that he did horror later in his life, because before he did... But Lost Weekend could really be considered horror of a realistic nature, and that was a wonderful foray into alcoholism. But Kronos was my earliest memory.
Do you have, like, a favorite book and author?
Well...
It's hard, I know, to pinpoint it. I had a hard time with this one.
Well, I'm a Sherlock Holmes fan also. I neglected to mention that. And I went to the Baker Street Irregular Dinners, a couple of them when I was in college in New York, and was a member of various science societies. So I would say that in terms of my favorite movies growing up in that year, in that vein, were the Rathbone films, the Rathbone Bruce films.
Basil Rathbone.
Basil. Everybody thought he was quintessential Holmes until Jeremy Brett came along,
right?
And then Jeremy Brett really took that over. You know, he was an amazing. If you think that,
I think Basil Rathbone just looked like Sherlock Holmes.
He did.
He had that very British, you know.
Well, he came from South Africa, actually, originally.
Right.
He spoke like 5-6 languages. He was a very smart man.
I didn't know he spoke that many languages. Yeah, I knew he was bilingual.
So did Christopher Lee. Christopher Lee.
That I did know.
Yeah, he spoke a lot. But, so Basil Rathbone was a... he was a seasoned character. It's a shame what they did to Nigel Bruce, because you know the original Watson was just an average fellow, but an intelligent one who happened to team up with a genius. But Nigel Bruce made a bumbling oaf out of him, and all the Sherlockians were very upset about that. So my taste in movies goes over into Sherlockiana, and if I see something new, I always try to make a point of seeing it.
What about favorite book or author?
Favorite books. So the Doyle short stories and four novels based on Holmes are probably my first favorite. I used to love Stephen King before he got into the gross out. But the early Stephen King.
The gross out.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I kind of think he's, but that's my own opinion. So
I think people just wanted a little more gore in their life, probably. You know,
I was very annoyed when Stephen King in Dons Macabre referred to Dark Shadows as a Mad Hatter's Tea Party.
I had no recollection of that. This is the first I heard that one.
Take a look at Dons Macabre. If you ever read,
I don't
that.
Think I've read that. Yeah, I don't believe I have.
That's an old
Stephen King's view on horror movies and television.
I have not read it.
Yeah, he does
ramble on a bit in there.
But the early King, I thought was, I couldn't put Salem's Lot down and The Shining, and so
those
I
are all excellent books.
So I would say, my favorite. I never really got into, so I said my favorite author, you know, I was more visual in terms, I love to look at horror, foreign horror movies also, Mexican horror movies, the Italian ones and so forth, Mario Bava, Dario Argento, of course, Paul Naschy in Spain. But in terms of books, I would say the Sherlock Holmes stuff and anything I used to get my hands on, anything regarding Holmes.
Don't forget your love of H.G. Wells as well.
Well, it's not number one, but it's certainly, I love, certainly.
It's hard to narrow one book down. I love reading a lot of stuff.
I nailed one book down because it's still my favorite. Everything, nothing has compared to that one. One of my favorite books.
I was more a fan of the movie than the book, and especially Alan Young. You know,
people say, I'm not going to read the book. There's a movie.
That's right. But it did a heck of a lot for the genre. And so that's where I am there.
Cool. What episode are you looking forward to doing most this season for season 5 of the Literary License podcast?
Well, of course, I'm devoted to Dark Shadows, and we're going to 40 episodes a clip next month. And so that's going to be double duty. Certainly it'll be a challenge, and I'm looking forward to that.
You'll just coast. I'm not even worried about you. You'll be fine.
Well, if I fall, then you'll pick me up.
Exercises going on there.
If I fall down, Vicky, you'll pick me up.
Don't worry. We all got you.
We're getting ready for the dips. The dips and ups, the highs and lows of Dark Shadows are coming up.
Yeah, this is where we separate, you know, the hairy chest from the non-hairy chest.
That's for sure. As long as women aren't working. In fact, I was looking at the episodes because we're going to tape on Friday, and I was like, I mean, hear that music. Dum.
Yeah. Dum. These are all great episodes, though. I'm looking forward to these. These are good. These have been great. I mean, I'm thrilled for these episodes. Nothing bad to say about this.
I have enjoyed them.
This is going to be the last great block.
Yes.
I don't remember because I was a kid. So don't ruin it for me. Don't say this is the last great block because
there's some great stuff coming up. But this, as far as like the one that moves the quickest,
the most cohesive, okay. And where everybody.
Well, so far this has been extremely cohesive. So.
Yeah, everybody was remembered here, but I have enjoyed my occasional forays. I joke and say I'm going beyond the crypt into other areas of your show, and I enjoy doing the Time Machine. I enjoy doing the Black Cat when we did that with Lugosi, the 34 Black Cat, which is certainly one of my, and that is another one of my favorite films from the 30s, the Lugosi Karloff teams. And I hope I can do something with you in the future. We were planning something. I think I was thinking of the Universal Horror Cycle. I don't remember exactly right now.
Horror Cycle.
And that would be nice. Of course, Dracula would be a favorite if you were to pick a monster.
We're trying to do all the oldies.
I think that's great because I'm into, of course, the legacy of Dark Shadows, but the legacy of horror is something that is good psychological horror, good, black and white chiaroscuro, although people do like the color and the gore and the blood and everything like that. But when it was left up to somebody to use his or her imagination.
That always has a big impact as well. It does.
Yeah.
Sort of like Jaws. You don't really see the monster until later, you know.
Or the haunting.
If you're looking at Chevy Chase on Saturday Night Live, you can see the Jaws, Jaws thing. If you remember,
oh my God, I forgot about that.
Remember when he did that? So those are a few of the things that I'd be interested in working.
What do you like about podcasting?
That's a great question. It gives me a chance to, to give back in terms of my own knowledge to your listeners. I think it's great to to practice my voiceovers when I get a chance, and also the camaraderie. You never know what's going to happen. There are fun things. I'll never forget when we
tangents. lots of tangents.
Well, hey, but it's great. That's like, you know, Marie Wallace actually said that about the interview I did with her, and which just came out recently. And she was saying that she was saying on Facebook that it reminded her of an old episode of Dark Shadows, because you never knew what question was going to come up next. Just like in Dark Shadows, you never knew what was going to happen. So I think that's what I like most about the podcast experience, because you don't know what's going to happen next. I was going to say, when we interviewed the late Robert Rodin,
right.
And I started and I had made it up with him in advance, so I started munching on the chicken, leg, and then later on, well, don't do that again. Don't munch on the chicken. You can hear yourself chewing and stuff like
right.
that. But who knew that was going to happen? You know, that's the kind of fun, the unexpected, and that's what I appreciate.
The Parker interview that we did, it's like we kind of went through a career and got to Race the Devil and everything else, and then we go, we're just about to say goodnight, and all of a sudden we got into a really good conversation about witchcraft and witches, and it turned into like a fantastic interview that we actually went, you know, that we got some really good stuff by the end of that interview, sort of thing. So that's what's quite fun about the interview, not really having a script, just knowing it's like, okay, we know what we need to hit, but
it's a spontaneity. It's a spontaneity. And I think that's what really differs a podcast from a rehearsed thing where you go, you know, where you go through A, B, C, D, E, and it can get kind of boring after a while. But with spontaneity, you never know what's going to happen next.
I learn more factoids on spontaneity or just anything. Every time we record a podcast, doesn't matter what topic it is, I can honestly say I've taken something away from almost every podcast.
Yeah. And it's a great treat for me. And from the Dark Shadow side, I've met a number of celebrities and formed a couple of good friendships, and I'm pretty pleased about that.
Well, beans.
Yep. So there are all kinds of good things that can happen from podcasts, but those are a few of them.
What's your favorite quote or saying?
I was thinking about that one. I like the one, and I forget whether it was Byron or Browning or whatever, or a man's reach should exceed his grasp, or what's a heaven for? I try to do that with my life, but sometimes I can bite off more than I can chew. With apologies to Dark Shadows and Vampires, but I think it's a good thing. Ad astra per aspera is another one, to the stars through hard work. So I think those are a couple of the, and when I've gone through whatever tough times I went through in my life, not too many, but a couple of them, I like Mark Twain's quote, the rumors of my death are greatly exaggerated.
Yeah, so, that's a good one. It always
helps. So there you are.
Do you have like any special message you'd like to get out to our fans, or anything that's changed your life you'd like to impart on everybody?
Well, personally, the fans know a little more about my personal life. I'm engaged to be married, and hopefully that will happen next year once COVID thing straightens out. But I think in terms of the message, I want to thank the fans in the Dark Shadows realm who have been supportive to me and who have given me some nice positive feedback on the efforts on the small efforts that I've made. I try to think of myself not only as a podcast co-host, but as a Dark Shadows fan myself who cares very deeply about the show and about the legacy.
No one could doubt your passion for Dark Shadows. Not at all.
Well, thank you, Vicki.
You're kind of like the go-to you're like a fountain of information.
Yes.
I always text y'all like, what's going on here?
As long as I don't regurgitate the fountain, I think I'm doing all right. Now, I'm not alone in terms of fountains of fonts of information. We had Danielle Penny Dreadful on a couple months ago.
She's very, very knowledgeable.
She's my equal as far as I'm concerned. And although he's never been on here, I could say Charlie Ellis has been well known in the fandom for his trivia. There is no doubt. But as far as I'm concerned, I want to thank the fans for listening to me and putting up with me sometimes and applauding me at other times. And so that's where I am.
Cool.
Yeah.
So So when your time has passed on this great earth and the marble that we live on goes spinning round and round, and what do you want to be best remembered for?
Well, I'll tell you, that's my Jewish Brooklyn coming out. who wants, you know, mortality? I used to be thanatophobic, as a matter of fact. And, you know, Keith will go into all kinds of stuff on the fear of death and what that represents. You know, and part of the thing of being interested in the vampire mythos is the immortality, the knowledge that is accumulated over hundreds of years, the money. In fact, there was a book that came out years ago by a Dr. Noreen Dresser, who's an English professor, and it was on the American vampire. And she said that the vampire mythos is really the American dream, if you think about it, because the vampire, once again, comes from money, has all kinds of knowledge, can live forever, sexuality, and so forth. So if what I would like to be remembered for is that comes from Star Trek, actually, Sitting on the Edge of Forever, Let Me Help. And I'd like to think that I've helped people. I enjoy what I'm doing right now in terms of helping my undergraduate college students. I have enjoyed helping the public health when I was a medical board investigator, getting people jobs when I was in HR. I'd like to be remembered for helping, and I'd like if somebody mentions my name, whether it's Tom Diamond or my real name, there's a smile that comes to their face, and I hope that happens.
Yeah, sure it does. Cool. And we want to thank you, Tom, for your wealth of knowledge with Dark Shadows, and we're looking forward to season 5 and us grudging our ways to the end, and hopefully
I told you,
we're just
going to
carry each other over that finish line.
I told you when this first started that I wanted to stay with it to the end, and I will.
Oh, we knew you would.
And I have to. Well, of course. I mean, you know, but none of the fans know this, but how did I hook up with you guys? You had put in an ad on Facebook on one of the websites. And
yeah,
I answered
vaguely
it.
Remember that.
And I answered it. And somebody else answered it saying, "Who are you?"
I didn't say that, did you?
No. Some of the other fans answered and saying, "What is this? Who are you? What the hell is this about?" You know, that kind of thing. But I had a good feeling. I said, "I know what this is about," and I'm very glad. I'm very glad you hired me, and I look forward not only to seeing the original series to the end, but the other stuff that we do have, and I'm going to let Keith talk about that in the future. But there are a couple of other little surprises we have down the line, and I'm looking forward to participating in that too.
With the new Dark Shadow series, might be coming closer than we think.
They keep saying that.
Friday. The article just came out a few days ago. I texted you guys.
Is that what you said? I haven't had a chance to finish reading that. Is that what you sent us?
Yes, it was an interview with, now I have to start remembering his name, but he's the guy, Perry is the last name, I believe it is. And
is this going to be a CW thing?
Not anymore. No, CW turned it down, so he's hawking it. But he's already got some stuff in mind, and he said it in the article. It's going to involve Vicky's daughter coming back to Collinwood because she found out she owns half of it. And starting with Vicky's daughter.
Was there ever there's not a child in the series.
Nope. So how did that
happen? This is going to be one of those surprises.
This is kind of what one of the storylines I put forward through, if you remember.
Keith, maybe you should write them a letter.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, who knows? Or maybe I should, once it gets made, maybe I need to chase up some royalty.
Yeah.
Spread it.
My idea.
Send all of us checks, Keith. We deserve it. But isn't that something if that was really
right?
That is exciting. I mean, listen, if it happens, it happens. I mean, precisely. This could be clickbait too, to see how, if there's still.
Well, everybody is just so hungry for it, you know. Lots of the fans just want it, you know.
The fans are. the fans are. And then there's that thing with Night of Dark Shadows, where Ansel Faraj is working on getting it restored with 30 minutes that was cut out of the original.
That I cannot wait for.
Everybody wants that. And Warner Brothers is taking their time with it. And
of course.
And shame, because I think there's a market for it. And Pat McCrae's new book, The Dark Shadows Day Book, is selling extremely well.
And we're in it.
And we are in
this
it.
This is true.
You're in it. I'm in it.
I'm going to have to order a copy. That's what I got to do. I've got to put that down.
On Amazon Prime, for those who are interested. And so I'm looking forward to the rest of the run.
Yes. And we're keeping you on after the run as well. So
excellent.
There we go.
Thank you for inviting me today.
So we want to thank you, Tom, for doing your interview with us, and we will be seeing you with Dark Shadows coming to our fans very, very soon. Always the last week of every month.
Oh, that's correct. Last Friday we tape, and then it'll come out a few days later. Thank you very much once again to both of you. It was a pleasure.
Not a problem, hon.
Since moment.